A Pentecost Sunday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on May 22, 1994, entitled, The Breath of God, the Life of the World. The texts for the sermon are Genesis 1, verse 2, Ezekiel 37, verse 5, and John 3, verse 8. The epistle reading for the sermon was Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
I have just a very simple but a very wonderful word to share with you today on this Pentecost Sunday. I want to say to you that the breath of God is the life of the world. And you've been around with me long enough to know that the breath of God is simply one other way of saying the Spirit of God or the wind of God. For the Hebrew word ruach means spirit or wind or breath. But in the Hebrew, it has that enlivening, energizing vitality about it. The wind as a tempest. The wind as moving power, the wind as energy. It was the wind of God in the story of creation that shaped the cosmos, as we said earlier at the baptismal font. It was the breath of God moving through the chaos, bringing creation to its fullness. It was the breath of God that caused Israel to have hope in its exile. The breath of God which caused the dry bones to come together in that vision of Ezekiel when God promised that that exiled people would come to life again. There would be a resurrection through the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God or the breath of God that breathed, that blew through Mary and caused the Word to take on flesh and to dwell among us. And on the day of Pentecost, that Spirit or that wind of God rushed through that early community of the followers of Jesus, turning them inside out and sending them out into the world. The unfortunate thing for us is that the Hebrew word ruach that had all of that energy about it, all of that vitality, was translated into the Latin by spiritus and into English by spirit. And you know what we think of spirit. It's intangible, it's invisible, it's kind of ghost-like. In fact, the German translation is Geist. And we even speak in the older form of the Creed of the Holy Ghost. So there's something spooky about it, something intangible about it, quite the opposite of the imagery of the Hebrew word ruach. 380 times in the Old Testament the word ruach is used. 27 times the ruach Yahweh, the breath of God, the wind of God. It is that creative, energizing, vitalizing power that enlivens the world. And what I want to say to you this morning is that it is that breath of God or that wind of God that gives life to the world, to all that is. Psalm 104, I said, is such a beautiful poem because it makes that point that every living thing, snails and worms and grubs and birds and the animals of the field and the trees of the forest and the meadows and the skies and the seas and ourselves, are alive with the life of God. Now in the modern age, since the Enlightenment, with all of the vast accomplishments of the natural sciences and the explosion of technology, there has come into our lives a compartmentalization, a division, so that we do this on Sunday and then go out with the rest of the week to do our lives where life really is. And there are massive numbers of our brothers and sisters who have no moment like this, because for them, life is lived altogether outside of the sanctuary, and they're getting along just fine. Human powers, human ingenuity, technology, scientific experiment, production, the corporate world, all of that going on without any reference to God. That is to live a profane life. And profane means literally outside the temple. We come into the temple. And that word speaks of the sacred. And in life forever, there has been that sacred and that profane. But what I want to say to you this morning is that the celebration of the sacred, such as we do today, is in order to recognize the sacredness of the whole of life. But what has happened in our modern Western civilization, Western culture, is that there has come the division whereby we still come, some of us, into sacred space and do sacred things, but then go out and live a profane, or the word we use is a secular life. And the vast majority of our brothers and sisters live a purely secular life without any reference, without any recognition that it is the breathing of God that keeps all things in being. Now, that's my faith. I happen to believe that. Someone from the outside could say to me, we don't need God. That's just a hypothesis. The world is just a phenomena that's there. It's just maybe an accident the way things have developed. We can live purely out of our own resources. And I would say that is as reasonable as what I am claiming. But I'm claiming the opposite. I'm claiming that everything that is because God keeps breathing. As the psalmist said, God withholds God's breath, and they wither and return to the dust. God breathes, and they are created and renewed. And that goes not simply for some spiritual realm of our human experience, but that goes for our bodies. That goes for our physical universe, our natural world, for the totality of reality. It is all God breathed. Moment by moment, incessantly, God holds all things together, and we live and we celebrate and we can delight in the totality of it because it is all the consequence of the breath of God. On this Pentecost, hear me say that the breath of God is the life of the world. I had an experience recently. On a beautiful morning, much like this morning, I had to go into Grand Rapids for breakfast. And I came down 45 to Allendale and to Eastmanville and then took Leonard Road into Grand Rapids. And if you haven't done it recently, do it again. It courses through valleys. There are wonderful hills. There are green hills. The trees were coming out in marvelous blossom. There were jonquils in farmyards. There were cattle staring at me with those large eyes, their breath causing a bit of a vapor, almost a kind of mystical something in that morning light. It was a brilliant, shiny morning. I had my sunroof open. The fresh air came in. After the long Michigan winter, I said, "Dear God, this is it." And when I began to tell somebody about it, I caught myself saying, "The experience was almost a spiritual experience." And I caught myself because, as a matter of fact, it was precisely a spiritual experience. It was exactly a religious experience, because a spiritual or religious experience is simply the experience of the world in the conscious awareness of the breathing of God that makes it all possible and invites us to the light in it. And then on a Sunday recently, on vacation, Sunday afternoon, Florida Intercoastal, down to Marco Island, down to a ramshackle, broken-down, old, beat-up tavern scene with rattan, you know, whatever, where you could get a picnic table under a little rattan roof to keep out of the sun. 300 or 400 people eating brats and hot dogs. And there was a musical group not nearly as good as the Weideman family, but with a certain similarity. And people washing down excessive brats and hot dogs with excessive liquids of various kinds, tying up their boats, rafting out from one another. I looked at that scene, and I said to myself, dear God, in the church, we are missing it. We, few minority of Christians coming together, decrying the worldliness of the world and the unspirituality of people, we're getting smaller and smaller, and it's getting tougher and tougher, and we have to shout louder and louder and run faster and faster. We're missing it, folks. What we ought to do is not simply invite you next weekend to come casually into the sanctuary, but we ought to all go to the shores of Lake Michigan somewhere and have a kegger and some hot dogs and a hot band. Amen. And then at some point, give me just 10 minutes. Give me just 10 minutes. And let me tell them that all of this sand dune and sky and sea and the wonder of the world is all there to be enjoyed and delighted in because God keeps breathing. It isn't an accident. It can't be taken for granted. It ought not to be presumed upon, but it ought to make us aware in that moment. A moment of awareness. That's what prayer is. A moment of attention. That's what prayer is. Attention and awareness to the breathing of God in a jonquil, in a tulip, and a forsythia. Awe, wonder, and worship. Because the breath of God is the life of the world. Rather than living out in the world by my wits as best I can and sneaking into church on the weekend to be refueled, I ought to come here to do sacred things in sacred space in order to go out and to see that all of space and all of life and all of its lusty delight is the gift of God who keeps breathing, 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 energizing, vitalizing, inviting us to be fully human, all to the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? Let's have a healthy offer.